Good evening, radio listening audience. I am Gary Wallace, and welcome to our program, The Scorpion's Honey. Today's program, The Firm, was written by Otrova Gomez for his book, The Scorpion's Honey. Notice how the master weaver of tales skillfully utilizes the element of surprise in this shocking story. The group that we have formed is a completely self-governing organization dedicated to the demolition of world-famous landmarks. We initiated our operation in Pisa, Italy. The first really juicy contract was to knock down once and for all the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It has annoyed people for too long and needed to meet the end that had been expected for centuries. Included in the agreement was a stipulation that we had to transport it to a prearranged ocean drop spot. I confess that the work itself was not out of this world, but the payoff certainly was. Things were a little more complicated in Venice. We moved on to expand the estuary where the tide meets the currents of the gondola-covered canals. We were also charged to widen the canals in order to allow the entry of super tankers. We practically had to demolish the whole city. The semi-rotten wood caused the buildings to tumble into the machinery we were using. Fortunately, the available gondolas saved the day. They were advantageous in evacuating both the people and the pigeons affected by the changes. Thanks to our labor, St. Mark's Square and Basilica now house the continent's largest crude oil depository. To take advantage of the natural conditions present in St. Peter's Plaza, we tore down the Vatican in Rome and constructed a private airfield. The priesthood was not in complete agreement, but luckily they had to admit that we did not damage a single fresco in St. Peter's Basilica. We left them totally intact so the Germans could later cut them in segments and they could be marketed to museums all over Italy in euros. In Florence, we did an outstanding job on getting rid of the dangerous ruins and century-old buildings that so lacked even the barest of public facilities. We replaced them with high-quality prefabricated edifices that the working class could enjoy. We made it the metropolitan marvel of all Europe. We found a considerable treasure house of artwork in this city and were able to save. We were not as fortunate dealing with the city's sculptures and monuments. Many had been constructed out of second quality materials and had a beaten look. We finished knocking them down and had the good sense to store them in garages around the area, so they would be protected from inclement weather and the elements. After seeing what a fine job we did in Florence, we were contacted to start working on Paris. Although I have to admit that we were not received with the enthusiasm that I expected. When the fanatic opposition realized that we were landing, they tried to block our disembarkation. It was a typical rude reaction that only the French would be guilty of. Thankfully, we were rescued by the clear-headed thinking of the capable legal organization that had hired us for this assignment. They flew out in helicopters and took advantage of the circumstance to point out from a bird's eye view their expectations and specifically what they wanted us to do. First, we were to disassemble the Eiffel Tower, an old oxidized monstrosity that loomed in the center of the city. It obviously served no useful function. It was an unneeded exhibit, a distraction in an otherwise magnificent city. As the operation drew to a close, we salvaged what we could. It wasn't much. With the remaining pieces of the tower, we assembled 22 small towers. We scattered them uniformly across the entire metropolitan area. This facilitated access to the towers for the curious tourists who were expected to flock to see them. We made the area around the hotel Ibis Sacré-Cœur more comfortable and certainly more respectable. We pulled down the old buildings and replaced them with structures of steel and aluminum that were much better suited for both the working class and the upper bourgeois and shopkeepers of Paris. As a part of the crackdown on the city's undesirables, hundreds of vagabonds and painters who bothered people on the streets were incarcerated. To satisfy a contractor from Gaul in northern France, who had concocted an elaborate scheme to improve the outer provinces, we moved Notre Dame to the south of France. Since the structure was immovable in its present form, we cleverly constructed two smaller cathedrals that could simultaneously benefit two Catholic regions instead of one. A considerable pile of rocks and boulders were left over, which we instructed the landowners to pick up and remove at their own expense, redirecting the Seine River to a more appropriate location was a project that only a master could accomplish. This considerably lowered the chances of flooding. Thanks to us, in its place, an 8-lane superhighway was constructed, which truly delighted the French. In that same vicinity, we toppled the Magdalena Hotel to facilitate the expansion of the interconnecting subway system. Of course, we took advantage of the opportunity to burn the Bourg des Bornes and replace the trees and vegetation with high-rise office buildings and commercial centers. We bulldozed the palaces of Versailles to make room for a new highway to connect Paris and Lyon. To give the ancient capital the honor it deserved, we named the new freeway Versailles Freeway. Travelers can now drive their motor vehicles through the area and enjoy the remaining plants and gardens that still dot the countryside. We sealed off the arches of Arc de Triomphe with cement. This had an immediate positive effect in that it made it impossible for cars traveling in a Champs-Élysées Avenue to evade the red light on Victor Hugo Avenue, bypassing under the arc. I have to point out that the constant passage of heads of state through the Arc de Triomphe has already caused it to begin to deteriorate. Before we were even through with our European assignments, we were called to Asia to tear down the Great Wall of China. Centuries ago, it was one of the wonders of the world. Now, in the age of missiles and satellites, it has become an unnecessary eyesore. It gives China no assurance of peace with its surrounding neighbors. Some government officials considered saving the stones for use as weapons in case our world ever regresses to primitive war techniques. We wisely elected instead to grind it up to make cement for popular government housing projects. We did the same thing in Egypt, where thanks to the high quality of stones in the Great Pyramid of Giza, we were able to make the finest adobe buildings known to man. After we knocked the pyramids down, we left the whole country as smooth as a golf course. They had fantastic sand traps and were able to develop the cultivation of the finest of desert plants known to man. Next week, we will return to Europe to work in Austria, England, and Greece. We will then continue on to Spain, where we'll tear down the Alhambra de Granada, also known as the Red Fortress Immediately thereafter, we will convert the Roman Catholic Cathedral back into a great mosque of Cordoba, so we can return it to its rightful owners, the Arabs. They have obviously paid their dues over the last 500 years. After this important world tour, we will return home to burn down our own forest. Alter egos can flaw the thinking of even intelligent minds. Tune in for another intriguing episode of The Scorpion's Honey. Thanks for listening to KETR 88.9. Your pledges make old-time radio programming like this possible. Your station needs your support. Donate safely and securely online now at ketr.org/support.